We normally have three songs, but I thought that's a long song. And these poor suffering people today, let's give them a little relief. We'll have two songs and then the first message. Yesterday, as some of you may have heard, I was asked to perform the funeral of Barbara Kirby, one of our members in Dallas area. Such a lovely person she was, always full of jokes, always smiling, except that she was not well. She hasn't been well from the time I met her a couple of years ago. I remember early in getting to know her, she asked me to pray for her, and which we prayed for her and with her many times. She said, "I'm not well. Nothing's working inside me," she said. And last week she was hospitalized with possible kidney and liver failure by Sunday. She was not conscious and almost the color of these chairs. That's how yellow she was. That's about the color it was right there. And she died Sunday morning at 3 o'clock or so. So we performed the funeral. I performed the funeral yesterday. There's nothing like a funeral to focus your attention. Maybe I should just read the first scripture I read at the funeral yesterday, Isaiah 57. That's always a good reminder for us, brethren, to realize that we should ask ourselves, why do we do what we're doing? Why don't we do what we should be doing? And why should we keep on doing the good things that we are doing? Isaiah 57, verse 1, "The righteous perishes, and no man lays it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering." Very few stop and think that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. The rest of us have to keep on living. The rest of us are here today, keeping the Day of Atonement. The rest of us are here right now to give an offering to God. I think it's very good for us to have an awakening, which a funeral always does to me, and I'm sure to the people who attend, that nothing is permanent in this life. We are temporary creatures. And any time you're speaking to a group of people, you do not know who the next one is, who we may lose. So when we gather here on the Day of Atonement and we take up an offering, I think it's fitting for us to ask why. Why do we do it? Now, most times on the Holy Day, we turn to Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, which I'll do now as well, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, to explain that back in the days of Israel, God commanded them that on the holy day seasons, verse 16 of Deuteronomy 16, three times, the Hebrew reads three seasons, "In a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty." But here we are in a Day of Atonement, and if we take all the holy days, we have seven holy days, not just three. Why then would we use this scripture? Well, this scripture shows you what happened back there. The holy days fell in three seasons. You had the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread season at the beginning of the year. Then you had the Feast of Weeks, or Feast of First Fruits, or Pentecost, as it's referred to in the New Testament, as another season. And then you had the fall season. Why were the seasons important? Well, because this was an agrarian society. They harvested things. They didn't write out a check. They took an offering to the festival. Some would take sheep. Some would take goats. Some would take wine and oil. Others would take vegetables. That's what they had. So obviously you weren't going to carry it up, you know, every holy day. You planned for the whole season and then you took the whole lot up there. Now those that were too far, they could turn it into money and take the money. But this is based on that system, an agrarian system. So if you were a farmer, you would know that the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles season, the fall season, would be coming. And so you would plan your offering. And you would take up there, and some of it would be used to be slaughtered to feed the people at the feast. And people would share, and some of it went to the Levite. And you can read about firstlings and what happened to them and all that type of a thing. But that was the setting. It just has become or became custom in the Church of God to take up an offering on every holy day, seven times a year. We're not contrary to the scripture. We just, you know, that's how it kind of evolved. So if somebody wants to argue, well, I'm only going to give three times, not seven. Well, you give three times. However, God's people never argue like that. Because you find it other times. For example, when Moses asked for the people to bring an offering so they could build the tabernacle, that was an unusual offering. The people brought so much that Moses finally had to say to them, "It's enough! It's enough!" That's the last time it ever happened with God's people, I think. I haven't heard of a preacher recently saying, "Hey, that's enough!" Why should we give? Well, we could say we should give because God commands it. There's a tithing system in the Bible. But there's also offerings. What do you mean offering? A tithe you could actually calculate. And it gets quite interesting when you go back to the Old Testament and figure out how the tithes were calculated. Nowadays we just have salaries, those of us who still have salaries. And those who will still have salaries tomorrow and next week. So a tithe literally means 10%. In our years of visiting people, quite often the question would come up, what do I do with my, and before the person says the word, I know they've got a problem because they've never heard this word, tithe, in some of the circles where we used to visit. To some of them, English was a second language. They didn't know how to pronounce the word tithe. It's a funny looking word. What does it mean? It means a tenth. Over in England, we were amazed to find roads called Tithe Barn Road. From ancient England, Tithe Barn Road, because there was a barn where people brought their tithe, literally in produce, that was collected there. So you have Tithe Barn Road. Anyway, tithe is 10%. An offering, what does that mean? That means anything you desire to give. That's where God doesn't tell you how much. He says, you decide what you want to give. What did Jesus say about giving? In Luke 6, and verse 38, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus said, give, and it'll come back to you. Most often preached today in churches and on television is that if you give to God, meaning give to me, who's making the program on TV, God will bless you, make you rich. Sow the seed, brother, sow the seed, they tell you. And it'll come back to you abundant. And you will be rich and increased with goods, I want to add. And God will spit you out of his mouth. Isn't that what it says back in Revelation 3? Because you think you're rich and increased with goods and have needs of nothing, I will spew you out of my mouth. Preachers don't add that. But so much of preaching about giving is you give to God and you will be rich. And people get up and they give their testimonies of how God has blessed them. We'll talk to them next week if there still is a stock exchange. We live in serious times. But it's a wake-up call. That's what we normally have, these wake-up calls, because greed has overwhelmed us. Why should you give to God? God doesn't need it. God can provide your needs, yes. He can provide the church's needs, yes. So why give? What's the real reason why we give? What's the real reason why, when people start responding to God's call, one of the first things they do is give? If you read the story of Abraham, in chapter 12 of Genesis, God called him. And God said, you go to this country. And in chapter 14, you find Abraham paying a tithe to Melchizedek. I always thought that's very interesting. When I first heard of the Church of God, I had no idea really what it was all about. But I had just started working. I was earning 15 cents an hour. So my first paycheck, I tithed to whoever this was who I'd been listening to on the radio. It's just like automatic, you know, like it was, the Spirit moved me to do it. It wasn't a big conscious decision. I had received something and I just responded. And that was my life from then on. Couldn't think of living a life where I wouldn't respond in that way. Jesus said, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why do we give? Why does God say we should give? Because God wants us to be like him, and he is a giving God. That's why he causes us to respond with gifts, whether it's tithes, offerings, all manner of service. God wants us to give because God is a giving God. That's part of his nature. So what we're doing here today, this is just part of showing the nature of God being developed in us. We ought to be generous people because God is a generous God.